Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I'll blessing. May I ride on a wave.
out of you live.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to our Blog Talk Radio call with Dr. Angela Dion Alali. It is June 20th, 2017, Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. We have a show lined up for you. Dr. Alali will be honoring a great friend of hers, a great humanitarian, a great person who passed away. Dr. David, or Mr. David, and I'll let her tell you a story, a wonderful man who has helped her in the cause and made it possible for all of us to know about the biobalancers, facilities, and all the other things that Dr. Alali lived together through her support and research. Dr. Alali, are you
here? I'm here, Ida. Thank you so much for the introduction tonight to our engineer, Mr. Jonathan Hill. You are absolutely the best. To my Canadian family that I love and celebrate, and my family, friends, and colleagues across the United States and in France and Nigeria, where the nanos have hit Nigeria. We are so excited about some of the work that's being done over there with medical doctors who are testing it over there with people that have seizures, adults and children, and launching the nanos and cell phone campaigns. It's just an honor and a privilege to be on the show tonight, to have the love and support of so many faithful listeners. To my Pittsburgh family, thank you for the shout out this week to Elder David Clark. We're keeping you in our prayers for the loss of your aunt. And just so many people. But tonight we're dedicating this program to a very special man of God. Without Minister David Dwight David Cormley, Minister Dwight David Cormley was the archangel of the city of Dayton, Ohio, where he was, his work as a very talented musician emerged from the Trotman family. Back in the 70s, early 80s, there was a particular sound that came out of the Funkadelics. You know, when you heard that, I don't know what kind of instrument it was, but it sounded like outer space music. And the song hit the charts, More Bounce to the Ounce. Remember we used to sing that? More Bounce to the Ounce. I know y'all didn't think Dr. A could sing, but I could crack a note once upon a time. But anyway, Minister David grew up in the Trotman family. They were his foster family, but Mrs. Trotman was just such a wonderful woman of grace. She never made any distinction between the many foster children that she had, and certainly Minister David was no different. She put an instrument in his hand. He discovered at the young age of 19 that he had a gift for music, playing the piano, playing the keyboard. He had an ear for engineering music. And since he had his career launched with such a musical family, he got a jump start in life. And he, instead of taking his gift to the world, because he could also sing, you know, it had kind of like an Al Green sound, he took his gift to the church. And he made everybody sound amazing. He made everybody sound like Whitney Houston or Lou Rawls. He could compensate for your inadequacies in music like nobody else. I know. He was amazing. His gift made room for him because he scored music for Hallmark films. If you go online and look up the film Stetson, about a little dog that gets lost in the Midwest, Utah, or somewhere. And the music for that film was scored by Minister David Cormley. I met so many people that came to his studio from Universal Studios and from various media houses around the state of Ohio and Hollywood. I mean, he worked with some big-name artists like Marvin Sapp and Jonathan Butler. And it's just the number Shirley Murdoch, I mean, his name and his work went before him. He was just a person of great tenderness. If you were blessed to know him, your life was wealthier because he touched you with such a gentleness and such a kind regard and a concern. From the very day I met him, I loved him, and he loved me. It was like, you know, he was like the brother, a little brother to me. But he loved me with such intention to preserve my life, to nurture my life. He gave me such hope in the journey of this quest for environmental safety and environmental health and safer indoor environments. He gave us, donated his house and his studio. He brought us before so many programs to talk about our quest for safer indoors for families and friends. He launched us. He started the first media campaign to push us out into the deep and tell the world our story. He had a party at his house, a testimonial party, and people came from near and far that had the technology to have their testimonials recorded and archived those testimonials for our journey so that when we got to this place of launching, of positioning ourselves to launch to the global community, we would have some data that we could launch with. We would have an archive that we could reference from. And he saw the vision. He knew that America could be a better place. It was in his home that we discovered light therapy to help strengthen his body and help his body heal. He was the first diabetic that whose home we retrofitted and saw the miracles of what it means to have a house that's static-free, that's biobalanced with energy waves. I mean, after 22 years of taking insulin, 40 to 100 units a day, his doctor told him he no longer needed any insulin. After 20 years of taking some type of oral anti-hyperglycemic agent, the doctors took him off all his diabetic pills and insulin because he maintained the blood sugar in this biobalanced house that was normal. After moving, he's the first person I've seen to have a hemoglobin A1C that was really high. It was above 11 in 6 months of living in this house, and he did add the essential sage olive oil, taking 2 tablespoons a day. His blood sugar, his hemoglobin A1C was, and so his body just stabilized. His doctor said that his eyes, he was legally blind, but his sight came back in almost 2 months of after living in the house. And he just had an eye exam in February of this year. His doctor told him he had the best visual acuity ever, that was the best visual acuity he had ever had, and he was ecstatic with joy that his health was stabilizing. And so we know when we got the news on Saturday, he died in his sleep. They found him early Sunday morning in his sleep. And when they found him, they said he was peaceful, just like he went to sleep. So he will be greatly missed. He was so loved, but he had such hope for this movement, for the Healthy Smart Homes campaign, that, as I said, he donated his home. He donated his studio. He donated endless hours doing the graphic arts. When you look at the packaging of the nano biobalancer, the bioharmonizer, the nanos, the hot cards on the Healthy Smart Home campaign, you're touching his work. You're touching a miracle. You're touching a man who was once blind, who couldn't see to do anything. And when God gave him his sight back, He literally donated the artwork for all of our packaging. And so I am deeply, deeply grieved. I was deeply grieved with the news that he was gone. But at the same time, I was rejoicing with him because he was full of so much love. He never met his birth father until he was 36 years old. And there was not one second of bitterness in him. His mother was struggling with schizophrenia, and so he never got to really bond with her. But there was not one root of bitterness in him. To meet him was to meet the pure essence of love. So this funeral, this homegoing service is probably going to be one of the largest ones that they've ever had in Dayton. They may have to get the convention center because the community loves him. He probably played at music for more than 60% of the churches at their concerts, their Christmas cantatas. I mean, he was a highly skilled and crafted in music on all levels, classical music. I mean, with scoring for the many movies that he did and video projects that he did for Universal Studios, and the Hallmark card for Disney. He's just phenomenal, a just phenomenal talent. So to Chantel, his Laurel assistant of many years, 25 or more years, my heart, we send our condolences to Sheila, you know, his assistants who were like sisters to him, to his pastor, his church family, the Grace House of Greater Dayton, Ohio. We extend our love to you this evening, and we extend our condolences. May the Lord God, who created all of us, be your strength in this great time of need. And may God do the exceeding. May his work, may the hope that of glory that he brought to the community of Dayton, he paid for hundreds of children to have music lessons. He housed homeless people in his own house. He fed hungry people. Matter of fact, if you went to the restaurant, he would feed you and deny himself. He was the most incredible love. And that's why I'll sorely miss him, because he gave me strength to climb in great darkness at a time when I thought I could not continue on with this work. He encouraged me and said, you got to continue on. Because when he met the little girl that discovered the nanos would stop seizures, he came over to the wellness clinic to meet her because he was so intrigued with her story. And he carried her story to the world. He brought in a photo journalist to archive these stories and these testimonials. We are so blessed to know him and to have him. And, again, I just extend my condolences. We love and celebrate you, Minister David. We appreciate his family. We appreciate the opportunity to share in his life and share in your life. And we will continue this work in his honor, because he was the first person that we seen, that we experienced, who was blind, who used the technology to gain his sight, who had, I mean, such profound neuropathy. He had his toe amputated, and they feared his foot would be amputated. But he used the technology, wore it in his shoes, and he experienced rapid healing of his wound and stability of his legs and his limbs. And I just could go on and on and on talking about the privilege and the honor to have known such a king as Minister Dwight David Hormelin. Having said all of that, I want to shift a little bit
last week was kind of really amazing because it was impromptu. We just happened to be finishing up training and an installation, and so it became a live wonder. At this point, you never know what's going to happen on Tuesday because we just finished an installation a few minutes before the show started. You know, amazing townhouse that had an elevator. And I was so grateful because the electric panel was way up on the fourth floor. And that meant I was going to have to carry these bags up four flights of steps. But having the elevator in the back was a source of mercy that I was so grateful for. We are excited that on Sunday we hosted, this particular client hosted a team of medical doctors and university professor in her house who wanted to see the process of having a home retrofitted. And as they went through the house measuring energy loss and energy gain, we learned something about sofas. We now have systems, these strips that we put on the bed and we put on surfaces that are conducting static. And this living situation was pretty unique because you had a townhouse on top of a townhouse. So on the first floor, the townhouse was floor one and two. And then the second townhouse was floor three and four. And so the third floor was sitting over the living room of the first townhouse, and we put compasses on the couch just to see if the polarity was on, if it would move the compass to due north, or whether it would deviate from due north. And in fact, it deviated about 30 feet, about 30 degrees, to more of a northwest presentation. So we took some radiation blockers, and we put it on the base of the couch. And the lady of the house was standing, like, behind the couch in the dining area of this living room-dining room combination. And all of a sudden, it was like a zap. It was like, as soon as they put the pillow down, it was like all the static that was in the box frame discharged out of the back of the couch. And it kind of zapped her and kind of zapped me a little bit, too. And I was like, are you serious? You're saying all this static is in this couch? I was like, this is really wild. And the house tested, excuse me, I've been running all day. The house tested in the high 1,500 microsurge. So it was amazing to see and how when we took down the couch, it was like it started broadcasting and reaching for the solis. The people that was sitting on the couch fell asleep. It was like it knocked them, and they said they've been sleeping so amazing. Their sleep has been so incredible. So I just want to open up the line because I haven't had a chance of talking to our listening audience, my Canadian family. They've been doing so much with these solis, and I just want to hear from people tonight. We've got some information to share because as we get ready to move to the university platform, training in these universities, I want to purposely and intentionally utilize the team to be doing some training and educating and some demonstration of the technology. I just want to open up the show to say, who's got a testimony? Who's got something amazing happening in their world with this technology? Anybody want to share tonight?
Hello, Dr. A.
Hey, Lynn, how you doing?
Yeah, I made it. I'm late, but I made it. I'm doing fine, and how are you?
Oh, I'm telling you, man of God, I am just excited. I always get excited hearing from the angels of Quebec, of the province of Quebec in Canada, because you gentlemen and ladies up there are doing such a phenomenal work, and it's just always excited to hear what's going on. I was just talking about Brian 2 days ago. Testimony here. How is he?
I was talking to him last night.
Wow.
And, he's still doing extremely well. He's more pleased than you could imagine.
Wow.
And I'll be seeing him probably next weekend or the weekend after.
Okay. Because
I saw him a few weeks ago, and it seemed like he had drained a lot of the goodness out of the batteries because of his condition. And so I suggested that he try a couple of more new ones. And in doing so, he brought himself right back to where he was previously.
Wow.
So he's doing good.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So how's his hemoglobin A1C running, did he say?
Yeah, he's hovering around between six and seven.
Okay. Well, that's a long way and great improvement over 24.
Yeah, he used to be around 26 to 30, yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I was presenting his data to the medical doctors that were in the training last week, and they couldn't believe it. I said, I've never even heard of any hemoglobin A1C. I think the highest I heard was 15. And they were talking about how there's a lot of, really sick diabetics, especially type 3, that they cannot hold the levels down.
Yeah. Well, he was picking himself 5 times a day, and he dropped down to 1, and he's maintained at 1 now since the last 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really tremendous. That is really tremendous. I am just so grateful that you've had such a merciful heart to keep in touch with him and let us know his progress. Because it's these testimonials that are intriguing people and that have now got the interest of the university system. What I'm excited about is that we have 2 universities that's interested in archiving the data. And so we are finishing up our arrangements, and they're going to be contacting, a number of graduate students will be contacting each one of you to get your story, to get the data that you've collected and some of the clients that you've served, because the vision is being written. And we're writing it in a way that the generations to come will be able to follow. I was so happy that the Trump administration is continuing fight to develop into the housing situation. I thought that all of that would be lost, but Dr. Ben Carson is picking it up as a campaign for the Department of Housing and Urban Development. And I hope that the momentum that has been sustained by the Environmental Protection Agency will, in fact, be preserved, because we have worked so hard to stay on top of environmental issues to safeguard, the future. We have such a beautiful country. America is beautiful. I've traveled from coast to coast, and I'll tell you what, some of the places in this country are so breathtaking that it just reduces me to tears, especially Shenandoah and the snow-capped hills of Connecticut are just amazing. And the summers in Connecticut, I just couldn't believe you can go to the lakes and the streams there and look in the water, and it's actually crystal clear. You can see the bottom of a little brook. And I haven't seen the bottom of a brook because when I was little, they were like that in Ohio. But when I returned in my adulthood, they were just mucky and murky with all kinds of stuff, contaminants that had been put in the creeks and dumped by manuscripts that have just totally destroyed the foliage and nature's trail. So it's just so wonderful that we're able to archive this, and now we have the universities aligning with us. And we'll have more information as soon as things are solidified. You know, these things do take time, and they take a lot of dialogue. But we've set up two research houses in Durham, and across there, looking at the across the lifespan, a university faculty team. They are so intrigued with this technology that they've set up two intentional houses that the faculty themselves are doing their own self-studies, and there's a grant forthcoming for them to align with mental health services and veterans in the community to be able to evaluate and safeguard their homes. So it was ironically, we were in the home of a veteran tonight, and someone who works in veteran services, I should say. And she was getting the house done for her own personal regard, but she was excited to hear that we have so many people with post-traumatic stress syndrome who say the houses and the technology just balance them out and make them, you know, more at peace and calm. And so we are grateful. She asked, how do we have a program for veterans? And I was so happy to tell her, yes. That program has been designed, developed, and getting ready to be launched here in the next couple of weeks. Veterans will be able to get a grant to offload the cost of doing their homes. And we hope that all of them will do self-studies to archive, you know, if the technology makes them feel better or makes, you know, do they see improvement in biosustainability and do they see any energy savings? So, Lynn, thank you for giving us Brian's update. Any other information? How's Rita doing, your wife?
Yeah, well, Rita's still doing exceptionally well. No more problem with the tumor that she had. Everything is stable. Has no backlash whatsoever. So she's doing good with that. And I've got my other lady that had the belt with the magnets in them that we fixed her up with a couple, and she has not put that belt on since day one.
Wow.
She's doing extremely well also. And the other day, last week, I had a lady and her husband stop by at my booth at the market, and she was limping, and she asked if there was anything that they could do, and so we started talking about the biobalancer, and I took her heel. I believe she had fasciitis, I think it's called, under the heel, on the foot. Yeah. Well, anyways, I put the battery taped to her heel, and she noticed the difference within 5 minutes, and she wasn't limping anymore.
Wow.
So, periodically I get the odd person that comes back with feedback to me, and they're doing okay, and I had another couple that the guy's got a very bad back, and some mornings it takes him so long to get out of bed and everything, and so he's now on the same treatment with the biobalancers, and he's finding a huge difference. That's about it for me for this week, anyways.
Well, that's a lot, because just archiving the stories, your wife's testimony was phenomenal. And this whole journey, walking the journey with Brian, has just really speaks to a level of compassion and mercy. And that I'm so grateful for, because you have the skill, you have the knowledge, you have access to Mario and Rod, you know, for the expertise to guide you, and you certainly have made a difference in people's lives. And to listen to these testimonials as you bring them forth every week encourages me. It's just amazing that this electrical safety device, these technologies were never intended to treat, diagnose, prevent, or cure disease. But people are finding some fascination in being innovative with them and just applying them and see what they will do. And because of you, we have found such diverse use for the technology, and now it's in clinical studies in New York City, which I'm so excited about to be able to follow up on in the next couple of weeks. The team,
I'm in close touch with Rod, so whenever I have a question or anything, he's there to help me out. So I do fairly well with Rod.
That's so wonderful, because he's excellent, and he's become the expert. You know, he owns the technology. He manipulates and discovers so many new things about the technology. It's just phenomenal. He and Mario, I've learned so much from them in diverse applications on farms and with hydroponics and lakes. It's just been tremendous. Rod shared the testimony that the lake was able to sustain alkalinity through the winter and that torrential cold up there. Whew, that's some cold weather in Canada. I get a freeze, a shake just thinking about how cold it is up there. So,
yeah.
But listen, tonight I have been running with this training all week and the install all day, because it was a training install, and we had some people to come up that wanted to peruse the installation, and so I have been literally talking since 7:30 this morning. And so if there's no one else that has a testimony tonight, I'm going to say goodnight early and hope that everybody gets in bed. So since Saturday, I've been up every morning at 5:30, and the third day, they say it's a charm, but it has really gotten me ready. Wanting to go get in the bed and go to sleep.
Yeah, well, Dr. A, it was good talking to you.
That's wonderful talking to you. Does anyone else want to share? Before I go, I want to encourage everyone to go to Affirmation Nation, Affirmation Nation. Get up in the morning, get on the call at 7:30. Actually, you should be on the call at 7:25. You're on this call with almost 200 people. I was on there today. There was, 160-some people on the call. But this is a call where they talk about strategies empowering you to win and empowering you to overcome some of the obstacles. And they were just talking about preparation, how we had to prepare for life, and how planning was essential, you know. And they were talking about, you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And how we have to increase, you know, the efficacy of our skill, getting better by 1% every day. That we need to take the same energy that we need to make $1,000. We can harness that energy to make, you know, $10,000. With the same breath of life, we can speak that we speak negative, you can turn that around, speak positive, and transform lives and community. So I want to leave you with that note today, because every single one of you are doing phenomenal work. Thank you for tuning in. If this is your first time tuning in to Tuesday Health Talk Radio, I welcome you to the show with my co-host, Mr. Jonathan Hill, our engineer, and our host, co-host, Ms. Ida Morris. They are two dynamic people coming out of Orangeburg, South Carolina, and they make this show happen every week for you and for me, because we are pulling together our love and our resources to keep one another encouraged, because we have to be intentional about leaving safe environments for our children and our grandchildren. I was just deeply grieved to hear and talk to so many women with children with Asperger's syndrome. The challenges that they have are just incredible. So if you're blessed to have health and to have wealth and to have healthy environments, you are really blessed. You know, and just keep Flint, Michigan in your prayers, because the direction of some administrators of that public health venue are going to be prosecuted and sent to the penitentiary. It's just unthinkable that people would intentionally divert the water line so they could poison races and whole creeds of people in the United States of America. So let's keep Flint in our prayers, and keep me in your prayers, because I've got another 45 minutes before I get back to the hotel and driving. And so I love and celebrate all of you. I thank you for your faithfulness to me in this project. And we're going places. We're making it happen because we care enough to share the information. And we're building safer homes for our families, and with the intentional design that our grandchildren will be able to have their grandchildren healthy so that they can live on in the legacy of health, good health and good strength. So good night, everyone. Thank you again for your support and tuning in tonight. You're listening to Health Talk Radio with Dr. Rhoda Zion Alali Johnson and Miss Ida Morris, who is a mighty, awesome woman of God and a woman of grace, and to the king, the farmlands down there in South Carolina, King Jonathan Hill. We just love and appreciate and celebrate you. So good night. Unmute your phone. Everybody can say good night, and I will see you all next week.
Same time, same place. Good night, everyone. Good night, Mario, Lynn. Good night. Don't go and say things about my father.